No. The name of the line of prophecy too is tonight. What I wanted to share on is lessons from Shemot. Shemot. Okay. So anybody know what the first book of the is called? It's not Genesis. It's called
Barashit.
Barashit.
Okay. In the beginning. Okay. Exodus. Anybody know the name?
No.
These are the names is the beginning. And so, but it's the names. And so, but it's something like Shemot. And Moses is Moshe. So just a couple of lessons that, from Shemot and Moshe, the beginning of the Exodus. But it's neat with it, as I'm on my another adventure, cover to cover, reading Yahweh's, if we do what he says, tells us to do, he reveals things to us.
Yeah.
And he goes, from cover to cover, I want to take notes. No notes. Oh, man, because if I take a note, I go off on a tangent. Cover to cover, I'm getting all this information. I did not know that the speaking point was his word. Because what made the box so important, the Ark of the Covenant? The covenant inside. And that's where Moses went to hear the speaking point. It's like, this is the closest thing we have to the Ark of the Covenant. That's why most Christians today would not be impressed with the Ark of the Covenant. We want to see a box. The box wasn't important. It was inside the box. It was Yahweh's word. You guys don't want Yahweh's word. So, but I digress. But Melania's prophecy went on about what I gleaned from it was shining a light. And it also said in Exodus that the word Moshe is told or Moses told, the word will shine light. I didn't know that. He's learning things. It's going to shine light on Israel. And how often, if we know the scriptures, light will make manifest darkness. Some people will attack us, name call, whatever. Get out of here! God, turn that light off! It makes me think of people in a strip joint.
Yeah.
or in a, and you turn on all the lights. Holy cow, turn that light off! But the whole thing is, we are to manifest the light. And one of the purposes of it is just to give people a choice. But the teaching, it shouldn't be a long one. But one of the neat things is a short take was what very unusual thing in the book of Exodus where the magicians are apparently allowed, it didn't say that, they're allowed to mimic some of the plagues. Not all the plagues, but some of them. Where in the word has Yahweh's mighty works ever been mimicked like that? I don't know. I mean, I haven't done the research, but I don't ever remember him calling fire down out of heaven for Elijah and then they call fire. No. I don't remember the sea being split, then they split. No. So there's something very unusual. And Yahweh will give us hints to some of these things, but it would appear, and I'll kind of validate things, it would appear that if we go to, and we'll go through these scriptures too together, but in Matthew 8:31, we get to see a glimpse where there's a demonized man who has thousands of demons in him that they refer to himself as legion. And they say, permit us. Don't throw us into the abyss. What's that all about? Okay. The second is, let us go into the swine. They ask for permission to do something. And what I believe, it doesn't say this, but what I believe is a hypothesis, is that Yahweh allowed these magicians to do this. Why? To harden Pharaoh's heart. Because I'll show you the scripture. Once they mimicked the blood, Pharaoh's heart got hardened. What's the purpose of all that? Which brings to the bigger teaching tonight was there were 9 plagues and the Rothaim will say when Aaron threw down his, Moses throws down his staff, it turns into a snake. Aharon throws down his, it turns into what Rothaim will say, a sea serpent. It's the same word as crocodile. So it could have been a crocodile because later on it's translated crocodile. You can imagine throwing a crocodile before Pharaoh. It's a whole other story. Okay. And then there's how many plagues?
9.
10 plagues.
Oh.
Come on. It's going to be 10 or 12.
You said 9 a minute ago.
Did I say 9 plagues?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said 9.
We'll go to this. But what's the point of all this?
Yeah.
Just wipe them out. Do like what you did to the Assyrians. Get rid of these guys.
Yeah.
And the point is that, I'm going to show you a scripture. Yahweh gives an explanation after the 7th plague. And thank you for correcting me with that. But with the 7th plague, Yahweh is going to say, you know the reason why he's doing all these plagues? And doing it so methodically? Because if you're reading poor Moses going, Holy moly, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. Sounds like the United States.
Yeah.
Oh my God, not again. Oh, it's getting worse, worse, worse. What's the point of all this? And here's Moses being tried. And I'm not going to come to a conclusion as to the point, but one of the points is Yahweh will tell us, and we'll go through the scriptures. He says, the point of all this is so everybody knows me. And as I read that, I went. And then I reread it the next day when I had some extra time after I was done with my reading. And I went, how many times as believers, all of us, have been waiting on something, or you're running a race and you're burning out? I'm burning out here. You got to give me something. And I think about Aharon and Moshe, and the other Israelites going, come on, man. You got to give us something. And the error with that thinking, which I had never considered until this week, the error with that thinking is, you're just thinking about your problem. You're not thinking about, what does Yahweh want?
Yeah.
The severity of your necessity should not stop you to go, what does Yahweh want out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And what he's going to say in the seventh plague is, don't you see us? Help us, help us. Anybody think about me up here? And what does Yahweh want? We're gonna read about it. We're gonna read later on that Yahweh, even with the plagues and stuff, he's sifting and purifying people, giving them chances after chances after chances, because everybody's gonna hear about Yahweh for hundreds of years what he did to Egypt. It was a mighty masterpiece. So, but first we'll go to the water, the river turning into blood. That's Exodus chapter 7. And the neat thing about this is reading reading this okay. This is before the blood.
Are we talking about Genesis?
Exodus chapter 7.
No, Exodus 7:14.
We're gonna go 7 verse 3 and 4. So actually, if somebody would read 2 and 3, please. Chapter 7, verse 2 and 3.
Thou shalt speak all that which I may command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and he shall let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will suffer Pharaoh to harden his heart, so will I multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt.
Okay, so will I. So, because you keep reading this, and Pharaoh's heart's getting harder and harder. And I remember reading this the first couple of times, I started reading, why are you hardening his heart? It looks like he's tricking Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Just, hey, get this thing over with. But you can see right at the second half of that, so shall I multiply my wonders. Now we're going to go over, so what does that mean? I'm not going to come to a conclusion. This is just a speculation. What's going on with that? First, you got the crocodiles and the sea serpents. You read right, we won't go into it. In chapter 9, verse 10, and the magicians, Pharaoh's magicians, were able to mimic this. What's that all about? Holy moly. Chapter 22, if somebody, we'll actually read 21.
Talking about verse?
Verse 20 through 22. Somebody read that.
Chapter 9?
Same chapter.
Oh, yeah, he said chapter
9. I did.
Verse 9. Okay.
Verse 20 through 22.
And Moses and Aharon did so as Yahweh commanded, and he lifted high the staff and smote the waters that were in the river before the eyes of Pharaoh, before the eyes of his servants, and all the waters which were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river became loathsome, so that the Egyptians could not drink water out of the river. Thus came it to pass that blood was in all the land of Egypt. Keep reading.
Yep.
And the sacred scribes of Egypt did in like manner with their secret arts, so that the heart of Pharaoh waxed bold, and he hearkened not unto them as spake Yahweh.
So we can see right there that one of the results of the mimic, I'm just going to call it a mimic, was what happened to his heart. Yahweh said he's going to wax his heart bold. Why? Back over verse, I think it's chapter verse 3. But I will suffer Pharaoh to harden his heart. Why? So I will multiply my signs. Pharaoh is absolutely evil. But Yahweh is going to use him, how? To amplify who he is. And for what reasons? Many reasons. But one of the reasons is he's advertising. TikTok. You want to know who I am? You want to know who the Creator is? And But one of the purposes, or I guess where I was going with that, is the mimic. It could be that somehow in the supernatural realm, Yahweh was allowing the magicians to do something that they couldn't normally do. Because then you go over to chapter 8 on your right hand side of the page and go to verse 18 when he does the gnats. Chapter 8, verse 18. And the sacred scribes did in like manner with their secret arts to bring forth the gnats, but they could not. So you can imagine, here's the magicians, and as far as we know, nobody's ever mimicked anything like that with Yahweh. This is, I don't know of anywhere in the whole book. Can you imagine them being emboldened? Power? Can you imagine? Yeah, we will see that in similar things in the book of Revelation. So something happened there too, but something very unusual here. But we'll keep our finger here and turn to Matthew chapter 8. That's page 8. In the Greek covenant, the Greek and in verse 31, so this is the legion of demons that are in the man of Gadarenes. They're going to talk to Yehoshua, asking permission to do something, authority. And the demons began to beseech him, saying, "If thou cast us out, send us away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Withdraw." And so, okay, it's allowed. So here's an example of Yahweh's son allowing authority. So that is one thing I never even considered, that possibly that Yahweh was actually allowing some of this to happen. Why? To wax him bold. Now, then what's the point of Pharaoh getting his heart getting hard and hard and hard? And we'll go there in chapter 7. But what's really neat about this is if you read this in chapter 7, verse 1, Yahweh tells Moses, go to Pharaoh. And as far as I know, that's like showing up to the White House. Why the heck would Pharaoh see Moses anyways? I don't know. You'd think he'd kill him. Pharaoh's a wicked dude, right? So he goes, go to Pharaoh. He goes to Pharaoh. And then there's a crocodiles or the serpents, but it could be crocodile fight, big thing. And then Yahweh goes, he's going to the supermarket. He'll be there in 45 minutes. I want you to meet him at the entrance. So Yahweh says he's going to the river or the water. And what does Yahweh do? Why is Pharaoh going to go to the water? Water is life. You go camping without water. You have to have water. Did you know what the fall of Rome was? How they overtook it? It was the aqueducts. So once they got rid of the aqueducts, you can't have a metropolis. You can't have the water. But here is, Pharaoh's going to go to the water, and oh no, it's that guy again. What's his name? I hate this guy. Hey, good job with the crocodiles, by the way. Next time, we'll get him a round two with the crocodiles. You can imagine the magician, this guy, and what is he going to do? He's going to kill the river. Think about it. The river is life. They worship the flooding of the Nile. The fish in the Nile is going to feed them. Remember later on, they're going to be complaining, oh, the fish and the cucumbers that we had. And what's Aharon going to do? He's going to, and I never thought about this, but when Aaron's going to stretch forth his hand over the waters, it's going to all die right in front of them. And the fish died. And can you know how bad Egypt stunk with tons of dead frogs? What dead frogs would smell like, you can imagine. Dead fish everywhere. Do what blood smells like. And so here, but Aharon kills it, and then it would appear that somehow Yahweh possibly allowed them to produce blood. Also, the mimic it. And that was John Chang. I goes, we don't want more blood. Get rid of the blood. Yeah. But they can mimic it, which would be get them a little bit more cocky. They do have power, but it's not power against Yahweh. They're mimicking something. But then when they go to the gnats. We read that verse 18. They go to mimic this one and they can't.
What chapter?
Chapter 8, verse 18. So is the, you see the third plague right above verse 16.
And the sacred scribes did in like manner with their secret arts to bring forth the gnats, but they could not. So there came to be gnats among men and among beasts.
Then said the sacred scribes unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of Elohim. And so you can imagine if what I'm suggesting was true, and it's just a suggestion, can you imagine the adversaries of the body of Christ starting doing mighty works? Do you think that would embolden them?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Would they get cocky? They are cocky. Would it make them more cocky? Absolutely. You can imagine if you're Israel going, this doesn't look good. They're getting really powerful over here, possibly. But then when it gets right here, we can't do this. You can imagine. But what does Pharaoh do? His heart. But what's the point of all of this? Is if we go to chapter 9, verse 13, and if somebody were to read 13 through 16, please.
Then said Yahweh unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and station thyself before Pharaoh. Then shalt thou say unto him, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this saying am I sending all my plagues unto thy heart and amongst thy servants and amongst thy people, to the intent thou mayest get to know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I have been put forth my hand and smitten thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shouldest have secretly disappeared from
the earth. So we're going to pause right there. He's going, I could have done this. Yeah. And it could have been like Thanatos on the Marvel Comics. They're all gone. Could Yahweh have done that? Absolutely. Yeah. He did it with the Assyrians. Gone. But he didn't. Why? Okay. Disappear from the earth.
But in very day for this purpose have I let thee remain for the purpose of showing thee my might and that my name may be celebrated in all the earth.
And so as I read that, I put a note down. I said, don't let your need cause you to lose spiritual focus. Israel had a need of deliverance, but what did Yahweh have? Did he have a need? Yeah. Advertisement. He wanted a chance to show his might. And I'm not going to say why, but I'm going to say some of the fruit of Yahweh showing his might is we'll go later on. We're going to talk about Rahab and the Philistines still know about hundreds of years later of the God Yahweh.
Yeah.
Who is this Elohim? And we get to, this is the seventh plague. How many are there? There's 10 plagues. Right? Who here has seen Charlton Heston's in the Ten Commandments? Okay. What is the pinnacle in that movie? The greatest mighty work?
The splitting of the Red Sea.
He hadn't even gotten started by the seventh plague. Moses is like, hey, just get this thing over with. Come on, man. I'm getting gray hair here. But Moses, you shouldn't get gray hair. You should have faith. Oh. Now, I'm not going to say Moses is getting gray hair. I probably would. But the whole thing is, what's the purpose of such a long process? Get this thing over with. Stop your reasoning. When you are in fellowship, I got to say, now this process, whether it's being married, whether it's children, whether it's jobs, whatever you're waiting and waiting and waiting on, the first thing is, this concept that I'm suggesting only works if there's no leaven in your life. If you have sin in your life, then you might be the problem. You have to get rid of your sin. And if you have unbelief in your problem, this unbelief, I was praying with Rachel last night, and the words came out of my mouth, unbelief lengthens things. We know about that, don't we? What did he tell Israel for 40 years? You and your unbelief, look what you just did. Okay, but faith can speed things up, accelerate things. So get rid of, is there sin in your life or something? Get rid of the leaven. And the best thing about leaven, getting rid of the leaven, I got to read a book, it was a Hebrew book, trying to explain the Feast of Weeks and getting rid of leaven. When I am getting rid, if it's a big investment, and I have a lot of money on the line, first of all, I know that I have errors and typos. Now, I like to convince myself it's all good. Then I upload it into a thing, it turns it into a PDF, And I used to just kind of look, I don't see any problems. Rejected. Now, what I have learned through humility is find the mistakes. They're in there. It's there. There's mistake in there. And then if it comes down and I find, I got one! Instead of going, no, find, see if there's three or four, then reward myself for finding the mistakes. It's a different way of looking for mistakes.
Yeah.
It's in there. And then if it's not in there, congratulations. But that's the way to do it. That's what we should be doing for leaven in our life. Sin. There's some, what is sin? Dad's last teaching. It's missing the mark. It's not necessarily malice. If you're missing your mark, of course we can get back and go back and remove some of these things. But back to Yahweh's, and we won't go into this. We'll turn a page, which because we'll go over the Passover lamb and all these very unusual things. But the pinnacle is like Moses had no idea what was happening, and it says nobody was as patient as Moses. Let us be patient. And when your timeline's not lining up and you're burning out a little bit, remember, Yahweh knows the future. Is he gonna reward you? Yeah, he doesn't want any of his servants to burn out. He'll reward you. Well, then why is he doing this way? He knows the future. What do you know? I don't know the books in the Bible. How's your track record? Well, if I compare it to your son, not too good, but if I compare it to... Okay, then just have faith in the author of your life, okay? But what's neat is then you go through the 10 plagues. All these things are going to happen. But turn to chapter 15. I'm just going to kind of go off on a short tangent. Another neat lesson from the book of Shemot. The names... Chapter 15, and this is after the songs. Think about this, guys. It put yourself in Moses' position. If you've never read this, read through Exodus 3 through the 15th chapter. It should take you an evening. And put yourself in Moses. Would you be burning out? It looks like Israel's going to stone them. The Egyptians are going to kill him, but what's going to slowly and slowly what happens is this is not even a dog would move its tongue against Moses at the end. And everybody's like, don't say anything about Moses. But I, before we go there, look right above chapter 15. What does that say?
Israel saw an apprent.
What was the response of Moses after this? Chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses. I wonder how many of us in here, if we, Galatians 6:9 says, you shall reap if you faint not. Can't be a wimp. Are you a sissy? Call me a sissy. Then get up! You think Moses felt like quitting? You kidding me? Can you put yourself in Moses' position?
No.
Moses' response was, he sang to Yahweh a song. And what's wonderful, right after that, who else is going to sing after Moses? And in chapter 18, verse 20, then Miriam. And as I read this, these are all new things that were just revealed to me as I was spending time in this speaking place with Yahweh. Chapter 20, then took Miriam, the prophetess, sister of Aharon, the timbrel, in her hand. And what did she do? And the women do? Do you know, does this remind you of anything? When the women sang... How about after David got done with the war? David has killed, Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And I've read other places where people are trying to explain that the women would sing songs. And then actually after you lost battles, that the women would maybe shake their heads and mock you or whatever. Because later on Yahweh will talk about the woman won't wag her head. But after this war, what does Miriam do? They break out into songs. What was the purpose of all these? Of all these plagues, Yahweh to show his might. Can you imagine the manifestation? It's dropping down to your knees, singing a song. Wow! Why? What had just happened? And I'd never seen this before. Look at verse 12. Did somebody read that?
What's that, 18, 12?
15, 12.
Now just stretch forth thy right hand, earth swallowed them up.
What swallowed them?
Earth.
The earth! Wait a minute, the Red Sea swallowed them. But it says right there, the earth, what, does that remind you of another instance? Yeah. Numbers chapter 16, verse 32. Yeah. The sons of Korah getting haughty. And Yahweh, could he have snapped his fingers, disintegrated and turned them to dust? Yeah. What are we going to do? The mouth is going to eat them. It could have been just, or it could have been whatever is going to get people's attention to go.
That'd get your attention.
Anybody else? The earth just swallowed them, and in Numbers it says she swallowed or her mouth. And here, what happened to Pharaoh? Swallowed. And they're looking, going to go, wow. And the purpose of this, Yahweh's might. Could it be in some of our lives that some of the things, the long things, that uncertainties, what's going to happen after your ministry, you don't know, some of these other things, is it going to be worth it? Is it going to sustain spouses, children, whatever the things are, is it going to be worth it? Could it be that Yahweh is working something mighty, that nobody gets any glory out of this? Me! Just me! Oh. What is one of the results of Yahweh doing it, the 10 plagues like this? Turn to the 18th chapter. Not that far away. I also didn't know Jethro had another name. Did you know Jethro had a different name?
No.
I also, yeah, so there's a different name of Jethro in chapter. But somebody read 18 verse 1.
Jethro, priest of Midian, father-in-law of Moshe, heard.
What? He what?
He heard.
Where was he?
He was in Midian.
He was in Midian. He was not in Egypt. What happened? Hey, Moses, Moshe, hey. I just heard some crazy stuff about you killing. Can you imagine the what exaggerations or whatever would happen between Egypt and people seeing these things? And it goes to Jethro, and Jethro goes, who's the guy? What did he look like? What do they call him? I know this guy. And he goes, and what happened? Jethro comes and he hears. And the neat thing is Jethro gets to hear, and Jethro gives his father like a good counsel so Moses doesn't burn out. But Jethro, what he heard. Who else heard?
His wife.
Who else heard? And you're gonna go, a lot of people heard. People getting a chance. Here's Yahweh's heart towards his creation going, come on guys, everybody's getting a chance. I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to get some really good, a nuclear bomb's going to go off. Turn to Joshua chapter 2 verse 9. That's page 236. Now, how many years were they wandering in the desert?
30.
Okay. And 2 verse 9, if somebody could read that.
Have I not commanded thee, be firm and bold. And
2 verse 9?
Oh, 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got one down here. We're going to see chapter 2.
I found it. And said unto the men, I know that Yahweh hath given unto you the land, and that the terror of you hath fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away from before you.
There's 40 years. 40 years. What's the number 40 significant of? Probation.
Probation.
Hey, everybody in Canaan. 40 years to think about what happened to Egypt. And I was got to witness a guy right on the street, and it was neat because he was a Marine, and he said, he goes, I'm convinced that people convince themselves that there is no evil. He goes, I've seen evil. I've seen the insurgents. I got to see some Islamic guys that it was scary, scary, scary. And so the thing is, here is, and who in Canaan is going to fight against this Elohim? What does Rahab say? Everybody's hurt. How many choose? Her and her house.
Yeah.
I wonder if her house had 7 other people. I wonder if it was 8 people like Noah. It doesn't say. But here is Yahweh for 40 years showing his mighty work for all these people. And the Gibeonites are going to know too. Then later on in Gibeon, they're going to go, okay, enough, okay, we've heard about this 40 years, 40 years. And then The last example we'll look at is at 1 Samuel chapter 4, 2:92. So you get to see some of it. Samuel was a bad dude, man. You get to read what Samuel was able to do against the Philistines. We're going to read verse 8, what the Philistines are going to say about Yahweh. Can somebody read 8 and 9?
Woe to us! Who shall rescue us out of the hand of these majestic gods? These are the gods who smote the Egyptians with all manner of smiting in the desert. Take courage and quit yourself like men, ye Philistines, lest you come into bondage to the Hebrews, as they have been in bondage unto you. Therefore, lest you quit yourself like men and fight.
So they chose to fight. Could they have become? Did you know some Philistines did become Israelites? Uriah was a Hittite. There are people that converted. There were some people. And so one of the 10 plagues of this exhausting, methodical thing that was... Yahweh was reaching out, his advertising, and he's showing himself mighty. And I was thinking about that even with the plagues. What's the point of another plague and another and another? And all of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh. Then I'm just thinking, well, the Red Sea is like the pinnacle. Here's Moses, the Red Sea. Oh, here's all the rest of Yahweh. Oh, this is going to be perfect. And then he swallows them up. Turn to Isaiah 55. We'll finish there. But I would like to encourage us, when we're thinking about long processes or how is this going to work out, you know, Moses didn't know who was going to take over after him. Yahweh never told him. Hey, I've been doing this for 40 years. Can you at least tell me who's going to pick up the scepter? Moses, worry not for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall worry for itself. It was neat. I was praying for somebody this morning. I got to give him a prophecy. Wonderful thing. It says, don't worry about tomorrow. Are you supposed to plan for tomorrow? Yeah. But once you start worrying, you start missing the mark. No. You can be thinking. And there was even a time Moses brought it up to Yahweh again. He goes, don't bring it up again. And he'll do that with you and I. And if we bring it up again, now you're irritating. But you can say, the future, the ministry, the rest of these things, Moses didn't know. But Yahweh's got it. Yahweh's the future of the ministry. Yahweh's the future of Moses. And Isaiah 55... 9. Can somebody read that for me?
For higher are the heavens than the earth, so higher are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
And then we'll read 10. For as the rain and the snow descends from the heavens, and thither do not return, except they had watered the earth, and caused it to bring forth and bud, and given seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the whereunto I have sent it. It could be, you know, Yahweh is the creator of all things, and it could be that you've been given a task, and I've been given a task to work a mighty, wonderful Ten Commandments movie for others, all others to see. But if you quit, he'll find somebody else. He gives you opportunities. And if we blow it, we can apologize and say, do it again. Send me again, please. And he's gracious. And he's patient if we're humble. But it could be the best part of your whole life is because the adversity you're going through is going to be like a Ten Commandments. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for encouraging us and for helping us. And we thank you for correcting us and sharpening us, so that we can be your and your son's image. We thank you for us not to be cowards when it comes to your word, but to shine your light. And if people reject you, then they've rejected us. Let us not compromise, and let us conform and be what you need us to be in every manner, whether that's washing feet, whether it's listening, whether it's giving hugs, whether it's calling lightning down. And I'm going to give a word of prophecy. But before I go prophecy, I want to share something that I had. There was a lightning storm recently, a beautiful summer lightning storm. I come home from after my fellowship with my mother and my father. And I get home. I get a word of knowledge. You go on a walk. I'm like, I'm out of time. I'm going to walk. So I go on a walk by myself. to go over by this little bitty bridge where I can maybe see some animals. And as I'm standing there, I look, and there's lightning. And off that distance, so you don't even get to hear it. And you can feel the wind. And I'm looking at it, and this is the communication he gave me. Aaron, do you believe greater power is in you than in that storm? And when these words came, actually the words that actually came to me was, greater power is in me than in that storm. I can't take credit for that. I wasn't thinking that, but, and I had to sit there and think. I saw there was a movie about God's creations that was explaining things, and they said, I haven't validated, that in some of these summer electrical storms, there's more energy than in nuclear bombs. You think about what lightning does when it hits something. Think of the winds of tornadoes and hurricanes just blowing things out. I thought about in the book of Job, the whole thing just whacking it out. Do you believe greater power is in you? And I sat there and I marveled. I need to start thinking that.
Yeah.
That lightning, power, thundering, whatever it is. And as I thought about that, the next thing that happened in my heart was, if we've been delivered that kind of power, we're going to be great. What did you do with it? Did you walk in power? Did you cut? And it could be blind eyes or whatever it is. But greater power in those things. So Father, we thank you. Greater works are available to us because your Son is seated at your right hand. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron.